So about a month or two ago, Tammy and I, not Tammy, she had really nothing to do with it. I got us the Ring doorbell. Anybody got a Ring doorbell? I hear it everywhere now. I'm in the airport and I hear someone's phone go off. I'm like, somebody's at their front door. I can tell the chime, you know. And I love it. I love the Ring doorbell. I installed it all myself. I just want to throw that out there. No big deal. I'm not a handy guy at all. I installed the wired one and the non-wired. I don't know what you call it. The non-wired one. I got Ring cameras. I got all the stuff now. I'm a big Ring fan, and sponsorships are available if you want to buy me something. But so I got the thing, and I love it because I know when someone's coming, right? Like, I know when someone's approaching. I don't even have to be at the house, and I can answer the door like I'm at the house. It's a little freaky, to be honest, but I really like this. I can know when someone's coming because I have an office door. And it'll let me know the office door went off before the real, like, entrance door. Are y'all tracking with me? And so I'm all about the Ring doorbell. I'm a big fan of the Ring doorbell. And I love that, that when you answer the door, you can answer it over your phone or you can just show up and answer it. Are y'all tracking with me? And only one of them really rings. The rest of them go to my phone. The wired one rings and you hear the chime and all, right? The rest of them go to my phone. And so I know from the phone before anyone ever gets to the front door. Because in my house, whenever the door gets knocked on or the button gets pushed, there's a swarm of small humans that want to run to the door before anybody else. So when the Domino's guy comes, because it's either Domino or Amazon, people. At the Floyd household, if it's not Domino's or Amazon, it's a salesperson, and then you act like nobody's home. Come on. Am I the only one right here? You're like, now I can do this and go, yeah, I'm not getting up. They're trying to sell me a new bug spray or something. And so it's either Amazon or it's Domino's, and it's usually a whole lot of Amazon. Anybody else live in that house? It's Amazon, 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 Amazon. It's somebody else from Amazon, right? And the little kids come swarming to the house, and they come knock, you know, the door knocks, and they open it up, and there's all these little humans that I'm always trying to pull back, and they're always asking the questions. Especially Jonas, he's got all the questions. What's your name? How long did it take you to get here? How many minutes? Where are you from? What do you have? Do you want to see my mom and dad? Are y'all tracking with me? This is the whole thing, and so I'd just rather not answer the door, right? And with the Ring video doorbell, I can hide in my house. Here's what I know about life is that all kinds of things come knocking on the door of your life. Some good opportunities come knocking on the door of your life, right? And you have a decision whether or not you're going to open it. But how many of you know a lot of times that some very challenging things come knocking on the door of your life? And you can sometimes avoid them and sit on your couch and hide and turn out the lights like nobody is home. But eventually, you have to open the door. Eventually, you have to deal with the thing. Eventually, you have to face the thing you don't want to face. Eventually, you have to engage the thing that you don't have an answer for. Eventually, because if not, eventually, it will come creeping through your front door. Eventually, it'll knock the door down and walk up in your house. And you've got to, eventually, the marriage issue you've been avoiding, you're going to have to answer that door. Eventually, the parenting thing, the financial thing, whatever the category is that you want to put in that box, eventually, whether you want to or not, whether you feel like it or not, whether you just want to avoid it or not, whether or not you want to go, I see them coming, but I ain't answering the door today. Eventually, you're going to have to answer the door. And so my question for you is this, is when life knocks on your door, what answers it? Because for some of us, what answers the door is fear. And so we're gripped by fear and we live in fear and we respond in fear and we speak with fear and everything is revolved around fear. And some of us, whenever we open the door, we want to deflect, we want to avoid, and everything is about deflecting, and it's so-and-so's fault and it's this person's fault and it's that thing and I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to engage it. Whatever it is, many of us, we answer it with different things. And I just want to propose to you today that you answer the door with faith. That you have a lot of options of what you can answer the door with. I'm just proposing that you answer the door with faith. And here's what I want you to know, though, is that faith is not a feeling. So let me break down faith for you. If you're with me, say amen. Come on, every campus. I want to break down faith for you because faith isn't the thing you feel in the middle of the worship song whenever they get to the bridge and it's like, here we go, you know, there's no famine in the Father's house. I felt faith. No, you felt great music and potentially the presence of God and good vocalist. Hey, are y'all with me today? Faith isn't some emotion. It's not like, well, I answer the door with faith. Like, what is that? What does that look like? No, the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Watch this. It's the evidence of things not seen. So faith is evidence. So faith is something in my life that I could present to a judge that would convict me that I'm a believer. Are y'all tracking with me? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. In other words, there'll be some evidence in my life, in the way that I speak, in the way that I think, in the way that I act, in the way that I respond to things that will prove that I have faith. I'm usually having faith for something. Does that make sense? And so if I have faith for salvation, that means that in my speech, in my acts, in my thought, in my behavior, there'll be something that says, I realize that apart from God, I'm hopeless and helpless, and that sin has separated me, and the only thing that I've hoped for is that Jesus would cover me and cleanse me and forgive me. And so the evidence of that is that I've put my faith in him, not in my works, so that I get the credit, but that he gets all the credit. Are y'all tracking with me? There's got to be some evidence. The way I like to say it is that if you were in the courtroom of faith, would you be convicted? Would there be evidence in your life that would say they have faith? And so I want to look at the life of Hannah and show you three things that I think Hannah had faith for that I think are kind of the building blocks of answering the door of life with faith. If you're with me, say amen. Number one, we're going to work through these quickly, all right? Number one, faith for God's timing. Faith for God's timing. The Bible says that Hannah would come to the temple as was the custom of her family year after year. Notice that she didn't come to just one prayer meeting. Are y'all tracking with me? She didn't just show up at one prayer meeting. It says she came year after year. She didn't know if it'd be the first year or the fifth year or the sixth year. All she knew is that it was her job to show up and to trust God and God's timing. Now, time can do two things to you. It can encourage you or it can discourage you. Whenever you have something that you're looking forward to, time can encourage you. You got a vacation you're planning. You got a season you're looking forward to. You got something that you're purchasing that you've been thinking about. You got a trip that you've been waiting to go on. And it could be a year from now. It could be a 2 years from now. It doesn't matter the distance of it. If it's something you're looking forward to, then time creates anticipation and time creates expectation. Are y'all following me? I'm working on one of those right now. Tammy and I, 20 years next year. 20 years, everybody. I've been researching for 6 months now. The vacation we're taking, not the trip. The children aren't coming. It's a vacation. And although I've been thinking about this for months now, and it's still a while out, it's building anticipation and expectation, and I'm reading up on it, and I'm buying books on it, and I'm researching the towns and the places that I want to go and I want to see and things we want, where I want to stay, I'm a big foodie, the food I want to eat and all the experience out. Are y'all following me? And so time is creating anticipation and expectation, but time can be discouraging. Because when things get delayed in your life that you are anticipating, time becomes a discouraging thing. When you hoped it would happen yesterday and it didn't happen. When you were believing for it to happen in this time frame and it didn't come to pass, then time becomes, are y'all tracking? Time becomes a discouraging thing. And if you're not careful, faith for God's timing will leave you discouraged because you're waiting on God and expecting God and believing for God, and you're wanting God to do it within this time frame and within this calendar year or within this week. And so you begin to get discouraged thinking, God, when are you going to do it for me? But I want to help you see that faith for God's timing is just as important as faith for some big thing in your life, because God is a God that is outside of time. And God knows the times and the seasons. Matter of fact, the Bible says it this way, that God has appointed time. Or let me say it this way, God has a due time. In other words, God has the itinerary already built out, everybody. That God's got the itinerary, and he's got the times, and he's got them locked in, and he's not worried about things, and he's not confused about things. Hannah came year after year to pray before the Lord, and Hannah didn't know if it's going to be year one or year five or year 10. All she knew is, I was supposed to come before the Lord and put my request before him, and now I'm going to have faith for his timing in my life because God knows better than I do. Think about the nation of Israel. Whenever they escaped from Egyptian slavery, the Bible says that God took them on a route that was the longer way around. God delayed them from their destination. Some of you, I'm breaking your mind right now because you're like, oh, God's getting me to my destiny. And God, yeah, but you think he's getting you there tomorrow. He may be getting you there next decade. But can I still have faith for his timing? See, the nation of Israel were taken on the longest route. There was a shorter geographical route for God to take them through, but he said this, he knew they were not ready for the fights they would face on the shorter route. So he took them on a longer route. Are y'all tracking with me? And some of us, we get so upset with God and we don't have faith for God's timing, but God is going, if I took you on the shorter route, it would kill you. And so I've got to take you on the longer route to prepare you for where I'm taking you, because I know the right time. I mean, think about Joseph. He got a dream. 15 years later, he gets to see the dream fulfilled. Joseph needed some development. Joseph needed what he would pick up in Potiphar's wife in that house. He needed what skills and character training he would pick up in the prison and in the pit. Are y'all following me? God knew the right timing. I had a friend of mine say this to me a couple of weeks ago. He said, I'm convinced that the devil can't derail you. He will speed you up. If the devil can't derail you, get you off purpose, off the path that God has for you, then his next best thing is to hurry you. And we live in such a culture of hurry. I need it now. I need it tomorrow. I need it the next day. And the enemy just speeds us up. And so we get into positions that our character can't handle. And then it crushes us because we didn't trust God's timing. God, I'm going to wait on you. Because those who wait upon the Lord, that's where strength is renewed. God, I'm going to trust your timing in this. Oh, do I wish it would happen tomorrow? Yes. I wished it happened yesterday. Are y'all tracking with me? But I got to wait on God's timing. Number two, I'm going to have faith for God's timing. I want to have faith for God's will. Hannah went to the temple pouring out her heart before the Lord day after day, year after year, year after year. They'd go up, as was their custom, she poured her heart out before the Lord. The priest saw her, Eli saw her. She's so in anguish and so in grief that she's praying and her lips are moving. There's not even words coming out of her mouth. So it's not that Hannah didn't feel this. Are y'all tracking with me? And so Eli goes and says, may it be unto you, may it happen just like you prayed. In other words, he's affirming this is the will of the Lord in your life. I want to challenge us sometimes, though. Y'all still with me? Just because you want it doesn't mean it's God's will. Just because you feel it doesn't mean it's God's will. Just because you really desire it, really long for it, doesn't mean it's God's will. Are y'all tracking with me? Just because you spoke it. Can I break some things for you today? Like, just because you spoke it, declared it, spit it, wrote it down, decreed it, doesn't mean it's God's will. So how do I know God's will? How do I know if what I'm praying is in line with the will of God? How do I know if what I'm desiring is in line with the will of God? Because God will give you his will. He will not give you your wants. Are you following me? The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And a lot of us quote that the wrong way grammatically. It doesn't mean delight yourself in the Lord and God will give you whatever you want. No, it says, as you delight yourself in the Lord, your heart will become aligned with the heart of God. And so you'll have the desires of your heart. Your heart begins to change. So now I want what God wants. Less of me, more of him. I start to want what God wants. I start to think like God thinks. I start to speak what God would say. I start to love the way God would love. I start to forgive the way God. As I delight myself in him, I become more like him and he gives me. In other words, he puts in me the desires of my heart. So where my heart used to would want to give you a piece of my mind, now my heart wants to give forgiveness and kindness because I'm delighting in God. And where I used to be stingy, now I'm generous because I'm delighting myself and he's putting new desires in my heart. And where I used to be full of lust, now I'm full of purity. Why? Because I'm delighting myself in the Lord and he's putting in desires. Are y'all tracking with me? And so how do I know the will of God in my life? Let me give you four things real quick. Four questions to ask real quick that'll help you discern the will of God. Is this helpful? Number one, does it line up with the word of God? That is number one, and these are in order. Somebody says in no particular order. No, these are in very particular order. The starting point is not what I think, feel, tradition, friends, mom and them, auntie, Instagram feed, Facebook, if that still happens. No, anybody snapped me. No, what does the word of God say? That's where I start. How do I know the will of God? I look to the word of God. If what I'm feeling, thinking, seeing, everyone else is saying around me contradicts the word of God, it is not the will of God. But what if I really feel it? If it contradicts the word of God, it is not the will of God for your life. Are y'all following me? Now, some of you may be thinking, well, there are things in my life that God doesn't, I don't know. It doesn't say in 1 John whether or not I should engage in this business partnership. You're right, it doesn't. And it doesn't tell me, should I marry this girl or should I date that guy? Or you're right, there's some things that aren't specific like that. There are some things that are very specific. And then there's just some things in natural life that we're like, God, is this your will? Is this what you want me to do? So if God doesn't specifically speak to it, then in his word, does he in principle speak to it? Is there a principle or a precept? Are you following me? Is there a principle that gives me a guiding kind of guardrails of which way should I go in life? So I don't know if I should make that purchase or not, but I do have some principles in the word of God that are things like, I should first be generous in my life. So if buying this keeps me from being generous, then it's not the will of God for me. That's really easy. Those of you following me. The Bible says that a wise man stores up wealth for his children's children. So it keeps me from having enough margin to store up wealth for future generations in my life. If I do this thing, then it's not the will of God for me. I got some principles that I can live by. Does it mean that God is mad at me if I make that and I don't let? No, it's just, this is how I know. Do I want to be in the will of God? Do I want to be under the blessing of God? Do I want to live under God's goodness and get response or what the word says that I can have when I live according? Then yes, that is what I want for my life. Then I'm going to try my best to respond to the principles of God's word. Are y'all tracking with me? So if it doesn't speak specifically to it, then I guarantee you there's a principle. And if you can't find a principle for it to guard you, then can you find a proverb? All right, you got that? That's sub point A, B, and C under point one of point two of the message. Question number two. I just lost it. I hate going to my notes. You notice, I never do. Number two, does it make me more like Christ? These are in order. Does it make me more like Christ? If the decision I'm going to make doesn't make me more like Jesus, good chance it's not God's will for my life. Does it make me more like Christ? Number three, question is, does godly counsel agree? Notice I said godly counsel. Some of us go to the people that will tell us what we want to hear instead of going to, are y'all tracking with me? I was talking with someone the other day and they were talking about a decision they made and how it was really painful in their life and they don't want to repeat that and they should have gone and got wisdom. And I said, can I add another layer to that? I said, here's the other layer. Go get wisdom in the area where someone is winning in their life. So if I'm going to seek godly counsel as it relates to parenting, I'm not going to someone that has toddlers. Are y'all tracking with me? I'm finding someone whose kids have moved out of their house, who love Jesus, who love the house of God, who love their parents. Are y'all tracking with me? Like, if I'm needing godly wisdom on finances, I'm not going to someone that's broke. I'm not trying to, hey, are y'all tracking with me? Like, I'm going to get, does godly counsel agree? Okay, let's move on. Number four, do I have peace? Do I have the peace of God, the knowing in my heart that this is the decision and the direction that God wants me to go? Here's what I want you to notice. What I felt was the last question. A lot of us make it the first question. What do I feel? Stay with me. And then we spiritualize it. We go backwards. Here's what I feel. Then we go to godly counsel and we say, God told me. What are you going to do then? You played the God card. Why are you even talking to me? Then we figure out how this is going to make us more like Jesus. Then we Google every scripture we can to find something to affirm the decision we're making. That's not how you find God's will. So I'm going to trust God's timing. I'm going to have faith for God's will. And I'm going to have faith for God's way. Let me give this to you real quick. You still with me? Say amen. Let me give this real quick. I'm going to make this PG. Hannah got a word from the Lord, but they still had to go home and do something. Some guy just woke up. He's like, what are we talking about? For a baby to show up 9 months later. Here's what I know is that God's way often looks like work. Noah, I want you to build an ark. Here's a forest. David, here's Goliath. Go take him down. There's some stones. And some of us, we're waiting. God, I got faith. Drop it in my hands. God, I got faith for my marriage to be healed. Wake up the next morning. You good? Ain't gone to counseling. Haven't gotten a small group. Haven't talked to anybody about it. Haven't offered forgiveness. And we're waiting on God to drop some miracle in our hand. Are y'all following me? God, I'm believing for financial breakthrough. Open the app. Still ain't happened. You got a budget? Are you tithing? Are you saving? Are you living on less than what you make? Are you selling things that you can't afford? Are you got a car payment that you don't need, trying to impress people you don't even know? Sometimes God's way looks like work. Talk about, I ain't got no friends. You in a small group? You gone to growth track? You joined a team? Have you put yourself in any places where you can have godly relationships and you can have people around you that'll challenge you to walk with Jesus? Come on, y'all tracking with me? Sometimes God's way looks a whole lot and feels a whole lot like work. And so, lifting my hands in worship and getting in line at revival nights, you know what's just as faith-filled? Opening that Excel document, typing mortgage, the number, savings, the number. Because sometimes we're praying for things we don't want to work for. And that's not how God works. Often the miracles that Jesus did were preceded by an instruction they had to obey to see the breakthrough they wanted. Could God have done an immaculate conception? Sure. But Hannah and Elkanah had to go home and get busy. Some of you need to lead today and follow the thing God has already told you to see the miracle you've been begging for. I'm open, God. God goes, are you open to work? Are you open to my will when it rubs against your wants? Are you open to timing when it's not as fast as you want it to be? Do you have faith? Do you have faith? Not a feeling, not a service. And every day, I'm trusting your timing, trusting your will, and I'm trusting your way. Do you receive the word today? Let's pray together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. For some of you today, you need to have faith for salvation, meaning faith for the forgiveness of your sin. The Bible says that we've all blown it. It's not a condemning statement, it's the reality of all of humanity. And it says that that separates us from a loving God. God never wanted it that way. And that's why he sent Jesus into the world. Jesus came to give us forgiveness, the greatest gift that he could ever give. And he says, the way that you receive that is you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And then you confess that with your mouth, that he's Lord. In other words, you're saying, God, I'm surrendering control today. That's really what you're doing. The song we sung, In Surrender I Come. You're just saying, God, I'm done doing it my way. I'm gonna do it yours. I'm surrendering today. And if that's the desire of your heart, then we're going to pray in just a moment for you to express that. There's nothing magical in the prayer. It's just me helping you have a conversation with God. But if you say, Pastor, today, I'm tired of doing it my way. I want to do it God's way. I need a fresh start today. I need a new beginning. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. Then before we pray, I want to know who I'm praying with at every location. No one's looking around, just myself, your campus pastor. But if you say, Pastor, that's me, I need a fresh start today. Then when I count to three, you just shoot your hand up high enough, long enough for us to see. And then we're going to pray together. On three, you just shoot it up all over the room. One, two, three. Just shoot it up. God bless you. God bless you. I see you. Incredible. You can put it down. Church, let's pray this out loud at every location for the benefit of those who just slipped their hand up. Just say, Jesus, I need you. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I believe you died for me. I believe God raised you from the dead. Today, I make you my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, put your hands together and celebrate those who made that decision.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Feel free to rate, review, and share with a friend. If you'd like to find out how you can get involved or partner with us financially, visit lifepoint.org or download the LifePoint app. Thank you for your generosity. We can do so much more together than we ever could apart. See you soon.